Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Furie, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning to our listeners and welcome to Uncensored, the show where we take a closer look at the big issues shaping our region. The North Coast has been grappling with an electricity crisis for over a year, one that reached breaking point in late 2024. On January the 10th, after weeks of unprecedented outages starting in early December, right in the middle of the holiday season, the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, or DOCRA, called on the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, NERSA, to step in. The blackouts, which stretched right through the festive season, cost the local economy millions and exposed deep problems inside the municipality's electrical department. On 6th of May this year, DOCRA met with NERSA and Quadacusa officials as the regulator officially began its audit, looking at whether the municipality was meeting its technical standards and service obligations. Another major issue under review was Quadacusa's soaring energy losses, more than 400 million rand in electricity losses in the last financial year alone. Yesterday, the 29th of September, the completed 75-page audit report was tabled at council, listing findings, recommendations, and allegations of non-compliance against Quadacusa as a licensed electricity distributor. And this morning, joining us in studio to unpack the findings are DOCRA's Vice Chairman, Brian Pottinger, and Executive Committee Member, Flip Hellberg, who also chairs DOCRA's Electrical Portfolio Committee. Welcome to Uncensored, gentlemen.
Thank you, Penny.
Hi, morning. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to start with the big picture, Brian. Let's start at the top. The investigation only happened because DOCRA pressed for urgent intervention after unplanned outages and mounting financial losses. Now, for listeners who haven't been following every step of this crisis, can you outline what NERSA was tasked to investigate and why it was so critical?
Well, NERSA was asked to investigate a number of issues, and particularly the critical issue of whether KDM was complying with its license agreements. And you understand that NERSA gives a license to people to operate electrical outfits, and that's pretty crucial that you keep to those licenses. So there was a broad range of issues that we presented to NERSA and asked them to investigate. And I have to say, with a mixture of both regret and also some sense of vindication, the NERSA report confirms almost in exact detail the concerns that DOCRA and people like Flip from the subcommittee had raised about the operations. And if you wish, I can run through quickly.
And I mean, the report is 75 pages long. So in simple terms, what stood out for you in NERSA's findings? Where did Quadacusa actually fall short?
Okay, in simple terms, that there was a finding that there was nearly a 27% vacancy, staff vacancy, in KDM's electrical department, which is critical. And it also found that there was a 26% loss in terms of electrical collection of revenue from residents and users in order to pay them electricity we bought from Eskom. Now, if we consider that the norm is between 6 and 12%, we're operating at double that. And that has a huge impact on the finances of our local authority. So those were the two sort of highline findings. More interesting to me was the fact that there was a finding that there were four specific breaches of compliance with the license.
Okay.
And they had to do with things primarily to do with implementation of maintenance schedules, a key issue we'd raised, the question of actually having a formal integrated approach to our electricity losses, the fact that there was no cost of supply manual or protocols. All of those have been referred to and confirmed as supporting the original concerns from DOCRA. Then there were another 18 adverse findings, but there were some positive. I mention the positive?
No, we'll just get back to that. I just want to quickly highlight just
so that
Flip
was the overlap, overall.
I'm going to unpack one or two of those findings in a little while. Just Flip on grid capacity and growth. The residents have been worried for quite some time about the grid's capacity. And we know that the North Coast is one of the fastest growing economic nodes in the province. From what NERSA found, is the electricity network keeping pace with development in lines with, the new infrastructure that is supposed to be going up and the current infrastructure that should be upgraded?
Yes, Benny. So there are many plans in place, but that's what they are. They still still plans. We've got the Dukuza sub that will really be of great help, especially to the southern side of the grid. But as much as what KDM is telling us that it will be coming alive next year, my personal feeling is we cannot expect a drop of power coming from there into our grid within the next 2 years. That's just out of my experience that's how long it takes to commission and get substations up online. If you had to be near Tequeny, it will be three years. I shouldn't be saying that, but that is an urgent switch on of a substation. So yes, the plans are there, but they are not quick enough. They should have been. I mean, we all know the Dukuza sub should have been online 2 years, 3-4 years ago already.
It's been in the press for a long time now,
and it's just not there. There is maintenance being done. There is an infrastructure being looked after. But unfortunately, not enough for the growth that we need.
I know. You know, one of the points Nursa made, in it said that Kwadukuza simply hasn't done basic planned maintenance. And in the audit, they listed the fire extinguishers. They said at the electrical sites they hadn't been serviced. And yesterday at the meeting in council, Councillor Privy McCann actually called that as an embarrassment to the department. I mean, just your basics. And they even outlined that the grass around a lot of the substation hasn't been maintained, the wiring. What does this actually tell us about the municipality's capacity, or does it tie back to the skills shortage that you were talking about?
No, I don't think that is really a skill shortage to go and cut grass. I think it's to get the people who should be doing the work just to go do the work, and they are there. But that's a topic of another discussion.
Okay. Yeah. And Flip, I just want to jump in with the non-compliance allegations as a licensed electricity distributor, KDM, which is KDM, obviously. What does it actually mean in practice? So are we talking about fines, stronger oversight, or even the risk of Kwadukuza being placed under administration? And I know there were breaches. You said as a license, they were not issuing the required, when we spoke just briefly just now, that we're not issuing the required 10-day notice before disconnecting smaller power users. Now, that may sound technical, but it obviously contravenes the license conditions. How serious is that in the regulatory terms?
KDM is really coming short on that. Nursa puts out all the NRS specs and that they should be complying with, being an official license holder or being able to supply us with electricity. One of the major items is that they're not even monitoring. According to NRS 048, you as the supplier need to monitor your quality of supply. You need to monitor your dips. You need to see exactly what your quality is that you're giving to be able to comply to have this license. And they, unfortunately, and this is in the report as well, that they don't have any of that in place.
Yeah, and Brian, we're going to go back to the energy losses and the financial red flags, which was another critical issue, which obviously looking at the staggering level of energy losses. Now, we have been reassured in the last couple of months from the municipality that there are plans in place. And Nursa actually found there was actually no formal plan in place to reduce them. Now, last year alone, those non-technical losses were close to R500 million. Now, for listeners who don't live in this detail every day, more than half of KDM's revenue comes from electricity sales, and that revenue keeps the municipality running. So, Brian, what does it mean for the municipality's future if those losses aren't brought under control?
Well, to put it brutally, it means bankruptcy. And that's essentially the warning that has been given to council. Unless we get these under control, we're going to run out of money. As we already know, we've been dipping into reserves, pardon me, and we have reduced available cash. So that can't go on indefinitely.
Yeah.
Now, coming to the initiatives, there are a number of initiatives. One was an amnesty to get reconnections going. We got 4,000 reconnections. But these are mainly in areas of low electricity demand. So we're talking about a very, very small amount.
Yeah.
There are plans afoot to hook up with a major supplier for a smart solution metering system, which will operate through mobile. It's working in 50 other municipalities. It may produce, and it most certainly will produce, some returns. But we are facing time problems, and the rollouts are too slow. Implementation is not effective enough. And the net product is not sufficient yet to convince anybody that we're dealing with this crisis in a convincing way.
Yeah. Dave, you looking at this, and I mean, we've had discussions on the electricity department, and obviously now nurses recommending steps. How do you feel? Do you think we have the capacity or the political will to act on these findings and recommendations?
Can I ask you that question? I mean, political will from who? That is the question, because if it's political will from local government, I don't believe if they had the political will to sort it out. Do we as a community have the political will? I also question that, because, you know, here we are. We're banging on the same drum. We've been around this mulberry bush so many times, exactly the same stuff. We know what the problems are and we know how to fix them. Why don't we fix them? Why don't we take the initiative to create a town management board? And like Etegwini has been given permission, thank you very much for them, to generate their own electricity now, why don't we do the same? There are so many new innovative modules of small electricity generation initiatives or innovations that one can look at. We've got the revenue. That's not the question.
Yeah, we do.
It'll probably be cheaper by a long shot in the medium term for us to go that route. And definitely more effective. And if we want to continue to attract investment, it's a no-brainer. If we don't, I mean, this all we need is for everything to fall down now, electrically. You see how fast that wonderful dream of the expansion of the North Coast jewel collapses in a heap.
Yeah.
Because the only places where there is sustainable growth are where you have a municipal entity that is being properly managed. And I, you know, use the Western Cape and Cape Town in particular as an example, leading the country. And the more thinking there is towards, well, why don't we establish an entity that is removed from, and not forcibly so. You don't have to join this entity if you want to still continue to support your local municipality.
You can buy from.
You buy your electricity where you want to.
Yeah.
But I just think that is it. What does it, Flip? You're an expert, and Brian, you're connected to the community. What are the chances of something like that developing ahead of steam?
Dave, I have been saying this for a couple of years to all my friends. I said, get your solar up. I mean, I could see this was heading to where we are now. So yes, my solar is up, and that is just my personal home, and that is a solution. And just even if I can just stick to that, if we can just get it, our municipality KDM to just allow the SMEs or the people that has got solar to get it registered properly. Put the proper meter in. You know, we even come with suggestions and say, KDM, let the person who's put the solar in pay for the meter. We're prepared to do that because I can get benefit from it. And it can also benefit the KDM.
Well, that's the point that you make is a good one. I remember years ago when I was involved with Docker, I was in touch with the folk in Parkhurst in Johannesburg. And Parkhurst had created a local energy hub where with the volume of solar, rooftop solar, that they had created their own generation capacity and were feeding that into the excess into the communities around them that were less fortunate and benefiting from it. Everyone was winning, and it was a wonderful, it is still, by the way, working like a bomb. Why don't we do that? Why don't we incentivize the entire community to go solar with some kind of wonderful incentives, which we can arrange?
Well, Docra represents more than 4,000 households in our community. You know, we have to put that on the table. And I know even in council yesterday, the speaker, Dolly Govender, she, you know, when the report was tabled, she actually said in her own words that if she was nurser, she would have cancelled KDM's license long ago. She said that in council.
Can I just respond to some of those very good points there about the question of intense localism and how do you take over and how do you manage your local environment? And I certainly don't want to pretend that everything's honky-dory, but there is, I believe, a pretty important inflection moment now. The recent white paper on local government has said private-public partnerships are critical. We've had recently at the Alembe ANC, Nochal, an indication that they would actually like to see the private-public partnership, which is Caesar Water franchise, continue. Whether it continues or not or in another form, is a momentum building for the idea of public-private partnerships. Now, if we can get electricity and we already have water and we already have waste removal, we're pretty much independent. And so I think that that is a trend which we need to pursue. And we can only do that by being active as citizens. I mean, your point, Dave. You've got to be active as citizens to push this. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. The response and the natural trajectory of bureaucracy is
inertial. You're always going to have those that say, well, it's someone else's problem.
Exactly.
Look what happened with the UIP. Yeah. There was a requirement of a percentage of buy-in before the UIP was greenlit. Now, not everyone agreed, because clearly there were those that decided for whatever reason that it didn't suit them to buy into this scheme. Well, the bottom line is, once the majority had been reached, and it was done through some fairly stiff lobbying, and you know, you lobby based on what is in it for me. So if you present a very clear, valid case, most reasonably intelligent I suppose people affected by the problem seeing a solution would buy into it, or you only need most, you don't need all, you'll never get all. But all will join when they see the system working and working well and offering the benefits that we're talking about. So why don't we start an initiative like that?
Well, can I just answer that as well? One of the key issues that DOCRA is pursuing, and we put this into our white paper and we put it as a submission and we're pushing it aggressively, is the idea of developing precinct managements, which are like UIFs but are not commercially based. They are independent. We have trial projects running now through a partner organization called Greater North Coast. They're doing trial projects, and we're trying to see if that can be expanded. Our indication from the municipalities, they're interested, because it takes a lot of responsibilities away from them, but also it gives a lot of power to local communities. So that's the one initiative. The other initiative, and I'm not sure, Penny, if you want to raise it now, and it's specifically an electrical issue, and that is the idea of an end-user forum. And this is not a step... It could be a step towards greater acquisition of power and authority over electricity generation. And an end-user forum is a instrument in regulations, the Electricity Regulations Section 6, which says it's a recognized statutory body whereby the municipality and local communities, business and DOCRA, for example, Elembe Chamber of Commerce and DOCRA, come together and they work out common solutions for the electricity. Now, we are pushing very hard for this as a consequence of this NERSA report. That's our next step. If we get that in place, if NERSA will, for example, add some of its influence and authority to that process, we can begin effective engagement with KDM. So there's a number of these little projects and initiatives, and I'd love to say they're all going to happen tomorrow, and our world will be different. But the trajectory, Dave, the momentum is in the right way.
Well, it's got to happen. Yeah. Ultimately, it's got to happen because with the best will in the world, we do not have political capacity to fix anything in this country. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. There'll be you know, talk shops, and we'll be having commissions forever going around. We know what the problems are. You don't need to have a national dialogue. We know what the problem. We also know what the solutions are. Why the heck are we pussyfooting around being so polite and so gentle? And it's our lives and our livelihoods that are at stake here. And if ever there was a battle to be fought, this is it.
Yeah, this is the battleground. And you know, that was what my question. What is now NERSA put ahead? Because we have seen for the last couple of years how there is no accountability. So that it's all good to do. This is the report. This is what needs to be actioned. Where will the accountability come with KDM? Who's going to be monitoring this? What are the next steps just going forward so we can conclude?
Well, if I may, the next steps are very clear in terms of this process, is that NERSA has said you failed A, B, C, D, E. This is where you've messed up. Now, you must come back to us in a given time frame, and you've got to tell us how you've got to fix it. And then we're going to monitor you. This is where the end user forum is crucial as an adjunct to that process, because it's not like NERSA somewhere else sitting there. It's us. And with the authority, we can do that. And with the technical people that we have and who volunteered to serve us and who specifically volunteered to serve on an end user forum, we can deploy significant authority and momentum to that process. Now, if it all goes bad and it all fails, then there is an end process which is called a tribunal.
Okay.
And that, in terms of legislation, gives specific powers to NERSA to do things like strip a local authority of its license.
Which you said you don't actually want to
do. No, we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. We want to work collaboratively with KDM to fix this, because if they lose it, it could go to another agency or party over which we have no control.
And we've seen how Eskom's failings are playing out.
So we want to fix this jointly. You know, we don't want to see this simply as a you and us. We want to fix it jointly. And we would like NERSA to help us and guide us on that path.
Yeah.
Is there political will on the part of the municipality to fix it? I mean, that's the question, because I'm not connected anymore. I don't know, but I don't see evidence of this.
David, can I just say something? And I don't want to be accused of gross naivety, because you can't afford to be naive. But the new mayor, Mayor Gumede, in his inauguration speech, I will communicate, I will engage. And within a week, our technical electrical subcommittee had an invitation to meet the most senior elements of KDM Electrical to talk about Dukuza and to talk about this new RT29 billing system. Full presentations. Now, I'd love to say all the questions were answered. They weren't. But it was a first step towards a serious engagement. And we must welcome and appreciate that. If it is a pattern for the future, if we can get this end user forum, if the white paper comes through and we reshape the contours of local government, then there's a possibility that we can regain control of our living spaces and do stuff efficiently together with government in a collaborative way.
Mm. Okay.
Sounds encouraging.
Yeah. So, you know, NERSA's audit has laid bare serious failures, but for residents and businesses, the message is simple. The challenges are real and solutions will require action from the municipality, regulators and civic organizations like DOCRA. And we'll continue to follow the story and bring you updates as they unfold. And a big thank you to our guests today, Brian Pottinger and Flip Hellberg, for helping us unpack the findings. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Uncensored, and we'll see you next week.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is sponsored proudly by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring, with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 35 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.